Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Christopher Sanders with my ghost story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Tipperelli on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Tipperelli on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Tipperelli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Tipperelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Tipperelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Tipperelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Tipperelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
The Ghost Host, Sophia Tipperelli, 8 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia.
That's right, Sophia. Congratulations. 8 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. Thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of LiveParanormal.com, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators. Thank you guys so much over the years for patching us through at live events where we had no internet feed, and thank you guys for all your support and help over the years. Feel free to call into the show, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606 as well. Feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. And as well, if you have any questions for our guests or our host along the way, make sure to make them all caps so we can distinguish the questions from the chat going on too as well. And everybody, today we're welcoming back Destination America's The Demon Files key paranormal investigator and animal control officer, Deborah Aguayo. She'll be on with the Ghost Host, Sophia Tipperelli. Everyone visit on Facebook, you know, because she's a big animal lover. Dog Girl, that's with two R's in girl. So Dog Girl on Facebook, Twitter at Dog Girl with two R's. Instagram, however, she has three R's in girl. So at Dog Girl on Instagram and Facebook as well, too. Still up and active there is The Demon Files on Facebook. Coming up next, well, actually on the 20th, we have Shapeshifters author John Kachuba returning to the program, White Phosphorus Pictures owner, Montauk Chronicles producer, History Channel's Dark Files host, and upcoming host talent of Travel Channel's Strange World series, Christopher Gary Tano will be on the program. That's on the 27th. And he'll be telling us all about that. It hasn't even They haven't even played commercials for this yet, but it is a wrap, and it is slated to premiere, so definitely check that out. And also, too, returning psychic remote viewer Harvey Althaus will be on the program on August 17th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. A lot of great guests booking their times and dates, too, as well. They're submitting everything to us. Like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page, to learn about those guests as we learn of them real time. Also, like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page, and also check out the membership packages on Live Paranormal. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So everybody that's members, a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. Support the vendors here on Live Paranormal. So if you're getting Grandma a mail meter for her birthday, make sure you do it with the vendors here on Live Paranormal. And, of course, tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as Mondays monthly right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhart, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of Live Paranormal immediately following the broadcast. So you could toggle forward for anything you might have missed or any websites or contact information along the way there. But here we're bringing on the ghost host. Let's see, Sophia, congratulations. 8 years of broadcasting. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. It's been an amazing time on air, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Yeah, you got a lot of cool things coming along the pipeline and things going on. And also, thanks to, in the beginning there, you heard the audio bite. That's mikesvo.com. That's mikesvo.com. That was my old professor from the University of Laverne. And he comes in and he does the sound bites every year, and he loves doing that for you and your show. And he's been a big support. And thank you so much, Mike Laponis over at University of Laverne. And if anybody needs any voiceover work or anything like that done, broadcasters here on LP, definitely check out mikesvo.com. And yeah, so Sophia, you know, you did a great job at Ghostbusters Fan Fest. We have the cast from the original Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. We'll be posting that, too, on your YouTube channel. But where can everybody find you? Got all these Instagrams and all these pages. Where are you located there?
So I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L because my name's too long.
I know we cursed you with a really long name. If we put your middle name in there too, that would make it super long. So yeah, you just drop an L.
If you put your full name in there, your name wouldn't fit in literally anything.
I know all my middle names. Yeah, all the Paolo and Michelle.
Yeah, you
and
have two first names, two middle names.
Yeah. Yeah, yours would be super long. But, yeah, you just drop an L. So on Instagram, everything else, it's Sophia Temporelli with one L at the end, so basically. But fantastic job. Congratulations, Sophia. Tell us about our guest today.
Returning to the show today is Deborah Aguayo, key paranormal investigator of Destination America's The Demon Files. Anyone that follows Deborah knows of her devout faith and her work as a dedicated animal control officer. Everyone visit Facebook.com/doggirl, Twitter at Dog Girl, Instagram at Dog Girl, Facebook.com/The Demon Files. Let's bring her back into the show.
Yeah, you had to drop an L in your name, but she's added all these R's onto Dog Girl. Let's see here. Deborah, welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Yeah,
thanks
so much for coming on today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So, it's always nice to talk to you guys. Thank you.
To start off, Deborah, your personal faith is so strong. Can you tell us how your religious beliefs help you with your work in the paranormal?
Oh, my religious beliefs help me in my daily work in all areas of my life. I'm just so grateful for my journey. In the paranormal, I believe that you absolutely have to have a strong faith base. if you're going to be entering into the paranormal, I believe that it requires a great deal of discernment and not so much focusing on the darkness of the paranormal, but more of other aspects. You kind of have to be, you have to be pretty grounded. And I believe that having a strong mm-hmm. faith base really helps protect people, and it helps guide them in that exploration of the paranormal, which is something that I advise with caution too. So I have mixed feelings on that subject.
And I know that you also worked on a show where you dealt with darker things called The Demon Files. Can you tell us a little bit about how that all came about and what that was like for you working on the show?
Well, prior to meeting Ralph and the team and being invited to be a part of the television show, I had been doing some consulting, and I was actually learning from a different person, a different demonologist, mm-hmm. and she and I had been working together for about 4 years, and we were vetting cases and handling cases basically over the phone, because she was located in Oklahoma and I was in California. And so I started spiritually counseling people over the phone with her guidance. And they were more along the lines of demonic cases, and we had a couple that were legit and some that just were people that needed some spiritual guidance and some assurance mm-hmm. and calming down. So we did a lot of that over the phone, and then I was just doing some paranormal personal cases here and there prior. And it was just bizarre how we all met and how I came to meet Ralph, and Ralph interviewed me for some time over the phone and invited me to be a part of the show, and there we went. So it was just amazing how it all unfolded.
Definitely. I mean, the show was definitely so awesome to watch. And, you know, when you film shows, it takes so much time. How were you able to balance family life, your career, protecting animals, and going on these investigations, which can take a lot out of you?
Well, at the time that we were filming the show, and even prior to preparing to go and film for the show, fortunately, I was a stay-at-home mom. I wasn't working. I was taking a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to completely devote a lot of time to getting myself spiritually prepared and ready to go be a part of the show. And then the filming only took about 3 weeks. We just basically did the entire show in 3 weeks, and we were on the road the whole time.
Oh, wow.
So, it was exhausting, but it was incredible. It was amazing, an amazing experience in so many different ways. I'm deeply grateful for what I was able to experience and being a part of that.
Definitely. And, you know, when walking into these investigations with, you know, a demonic nature of activity, how do you initially prepare yourself when walking in there? Like, do you, you know, pray first? What do you do?
Well, one thing I would, aside from what I would do, one thing, well, this is what I do, but I would also encourage people to do, is that, you know, it seems to be a really popular topic right now. It seems mm-hmm. that people are kind of leaning more toward wanting to get involved in more of the darker cases, and it's like their curiosity is getting ratcheted up, and I would really advise people to do not take it lightly, and don't go barging into these situations out of curiosity and thinking that you could read some things online and just go barging into a possibly demonic case. It's a very serious situation. One of the things that I do before I ever involve myself in even a location, or especially a case involving the demonic, is I spend a lot of time in prayer. And I mm-hmm. want to make sure that I do have God's blessing and God's guidance in what I'm involving myself in. And then I spend a great deal of time talking to the family members, advising them to get physical exams, to have psychological evaluations. You know, you want to make sure that what you're dealing with is something that isn't either caused from other influences. It could be physical, environmental, psychological. There are a lot of things which it involves a great deal of responsibility and accountability. If you're going to be going into these situations, you want to make sure what you are dealing with, and there's never a hurry. And it should never be governed by curiosity or excitement. It should be absolutely out of wanting to help somebody. And that mm-hmm. requires a lot of time and patience before you go entering into a situation like that. So for that's the first step. And then as far as my spiritual protection, if I am going into a situation, like I said, I a lot of prayer, a lot of just quiet time with God, and fasting. I'm a big fan of fasting before you enter into a case like that.
And with your time on the show, what was your most memorable episode during your time?
Oh, gosh. well, the Tennessee War case, War Trace case was absolutely insane. The activity was incredible. It was just nonstop. And of course, I bonded with the family, and I still am very close to the family. And then, you know, the case with the Bartons, that was a very touching case too, mm-hmm. and I'm still very close to that family as well. They were just all three so different. So I can't really say for sure. Definitely one of the third cases that we had to walk out of, that was upsetting. That was a very difficult situation. So I can't say that was my favorite. That was definitely mm-hmm. a hard thing to do, but they weren't being forthcoming right. with us throughout the process. So, you know, you cannot go in and help somebody if they're not being completely honest and open with you.
Definitely. And, you know, when dealing with home haunting cases and cases like this, you're dealing with real people's lives. Is there something for someone who wants to start investigating home haunting cases that you would say is a particular skill set in their personal lives that they should have, being able to deal with, you know, personal issues in other people's lives?
Absolutely. First of all, you have to be open to being to knowing what you know and what you don't know, and you have to be willing to mm-hmm. access other resources. You need to be, okay, this is out of my area of knowledge. I need to bring in a physician, or I need to bring in a psychologist, or I need to have this person assessed before, you know, advising them that they're experiencing paranormal activity. You have to understand that there's just certain things that you don't know, and you have to be humble about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, especially when you're dealing with people's lives, like you said, you can do some psychological harm to these people. And it's just always important to have a team of people or have resources available to you. So if you feel that it's something that you're not sure about, you can refer them to clergy. You can refer them to a psychologist. You know, it's just, so many people want to go in with good intentions, but it can unfortunately turn out to be a possibly harmful experience if they don't really know what they're doing, or if they aren't familiar enough with the signs and symptoms of other situations that might be going on.
Definitely. And I think also, you know, for a lot of people too, it just takes life skills as well, you know. I'm 20, but I personally wouldn't feel comfortable doing residential cases because, you know, I haven't had the life experiences that some of these people have gone through, you know, with owning your own home and having to deal with, you know, the fact that, you know, maybe they can't move, maybe they can. And, you know, I lived in my own haunted house, but it's just different from the standpoint of, you know, being a child in a haunted house and being the adult in one.
Oh, exactly. And that's because you're also humble and you understand. You see what you know and what you don't know, and you're willing to step back. And that's a really important attribute, I think, in any investigator. So I commend you on knowing that. That's awesome. You're several steps ahead of many people out there that go in and consider themselves to be an expert, you know. It's just nobody's an expert. This is just a field that it's the unknown. And I think it's going to forever remain that way. So
definitely. And thank you. I know we were talking a little bit about your time on the Demon Files, but how did you initially start investigating the paranormal and what kind of piqued your interest?
Well, like you, I've lived in two homes that were highly haunted, very different situations. Mm-hmm. One of them, I was living in Lake Arrowhead, and I was married to a police officer. My son was 3 years old at the time, and that was a really frightening experience. It involved several witnesses, a pastor who was choked in the basement of where we were living.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad. He even later was mentioned in a book about his experience at our home. And I remember feeling how helpless and terrified I was in that experience. And it kind of led me to be interested in the paranormal. And also, while I was living there, those experiences that I had made me realize that I was very sensitive to the paranormal. And I didn't pursue it. It just kept happening to me. I would be minding my own business, and you know, people would start talking to me and sharing me their stories, and it just seemed to always keep coming to me. And I would meet a group of people. I'd really like them, find out they're paranormal investigators. They'd invite me to go on a case. And so I didn't actively pursue it. It just sort of happened.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I met my mentor, you know, again, that was just a fluke thing as well. I believe she found me on Facebook, and we connected that way, and I learned a lot from her over the course of 4 years, and it just kind of went from there.
Yeah, the paranormal is definitely a very interesting field. I mean, you know, you just can't help but in some ways be drawn to it. I mean, you know, even if I hadn't started investigating at a young age, my house still would have shown signs of being haunted later on. And so it just, you know, it really just comes back to you like a boomerang at some points.
Well, yeah, and it's just fascinating. You know, when you're living in a situation like that, you're like, oh, my goodness, this is really happening. This isn't just my perception. You know, my police officer husband is experiencing things. A pastor is experiencing things. My family's come over and experienced things. So you know you're not just – this is not something that can be easily explained. And once you realize that the paranormal is real, there is really something happening – it's just absolutely, it's life-changing. And I think it's just a total blessing to have that knowledge and that understanding, because I think it makes life just so much more, it just enriches our lives knowing that there is an afterlife and that the paranormal is real. It's just amazing. It never ceases to astound me.
Definitely. And with your own experiences with home hauntings and your time on the show, what advice would you give to people who are going through their own home haunting issues?
Be very careful who you seek help from. Just absolutely be very, very careful. Look for all possible explanations. It seems as though, you know, especially now with the popularity of all the television shows and the subject of the paranormal, it seems that a lot of people are really quick to assume that activity in their home is paranormal when they should be looking at other possible causes. There could be environmental causes. There could be, you know, different reasons why there's I believe that there are certain situations where people are actually haunting their own homes with their own energy. They're maybe having unaddressed emotional issues that they've repressed. There's so many different things that could be causing activity that is not necessarily related to spirit activity. So always I advise people to step back and really assess in a very calm manner what could possibly be going on before you assume it's paranormal. And then if you do feel the need to bring in a team, be very careful who you bring in and make sure that they aren't going to accidentally, if it is a spirit type activity, make it worse. I advise them to proceed with caution. And whatever they do, try not to inflame it with a lot of focus and fear, and kind of step back. And I don't know how else to go. Every situation's so different, so it's kind of hard to give a general.
Yeah.
But definitely be careful who you bring in. Always try to find logical explanations first. Because it seems as though, you know, some of the cases that I was able to help resolve over the phone, they self-resolved by just guiding them and spiritually empowering them and calming them down. It seemed to kind of dissipate the activity considerably.
Definitely. And for anyone who is experiencing home haunting issues, how would you advise people to maybe be able to tell if it's just kind of, you know, a normal home haunting or something that is more along the lines of demonic? Where is there kind of that line between maybe a pesky ghost and something that's actually harmful?
Well, now that's a hard one because, again, that's me, just a human being trying to say how I would be able to discern between something that could be demonic and not. And that's where it's really dangerous. I prefer to follow Scripture and use the advice that Scripture gives us. And I don't think that, I think if you're having paranormal activity, you really don't know. And it's going to be very difficult to tell whether or not exactly what is the cause, especially if it's a spirit type activity and it's not just unusual paranormal activity. It's hard to describe the difference in a sentence here, but if you feel, usually when it is a demonic situation, you're going to feel oppression. It seems as though it always starts in emotions. It starts in depression. It starts in addiction. It starts in every little way that you can be impacted personally. And then it just kind of seems to flare up from there. And then the activity in the home will get worse. People will start fighting. There will start being a lot of negative emotions. And it seems to start that way. Now, if you're just having paranormal activity, it doesn't seem to affect or prey upon people's personal weaknesses as much. So I think that is one really good indicator that I pay attention to, is how it's affecting the dynamic of the family and them personally.
Well, that's definitely very good advice for everyone out there, so they can kind of maybe assess before they go searching for a team, because, you know, I think that's a very important part, is being able to find a team that suits your situation. So thank you for sharing that information with the audience. I do know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Again, our guest today, we're welcoming back Destination America's The Demon Files key paranormal investigator and animal control officer, Deborah Aguayo, here with the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli. On Facebook, she has several R's in this, so it's Dog Girl with two R's. And on Twitter, it's Dog Girl with two R's, so at Dog Girl. And Instagram, it's with three R's, at Dog Girl. And also, too, on Facebook, The Demon Files. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on liveparanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporilli, weekly 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporilli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporilli.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporilli on liveparanormal.com, and I don't want to scare our guests. I heard 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. That's an old audio bite. No, the show's only an hour now. So, yeah, when she started out at 12, Sophia did two-hour shows. That's an amazing achievement. I'm trying to unmute all of our microphones. So right now I just want to remind everybody we have Destination America's The Demon Files, key paranormal investigator and animal control officer, Deborah Aguayo. And as I'm unmuting everything, I'll go ahead and throw this question out there. You know, congratulations, Deborah, on your son's achievement as a law enforcement officer. How long has Isaiah been active? And, you know, please thank him for his service for us. It looks like, there we go, we have you back in. And Sophia, we have you back in too. But congratulations, Deborah.
Oh, thank you. I am just astounded by him. You know, he's young. He's very young. And just 1 year in, and he's already an expert marksman. He got sharpshooter in the academy, and now he's already an expert. And more importantly than, you know, those attributes, I'm impressed with his ability to deal with stress. He's not, he's handling stress really well. He loves his job. He loves helping people. He is actually in that work to help people and serve the community. And I'm very proud. So thank you.
Wow. Thank him for us.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I was worried about the stress at his age and everything, and he's just handling it like a champ. He loves his work. He loves getting up every morning and doing his job. And I'm finally learning on my end how to deal with the stress and not worry all the time. So I'm doing a little bit better myself. So it's like, it was a rough transition, but thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, with your work as well in the paranormal, you help people. Has he taken any interest in, you know, your paranormal side of life?
He actually is very gifted. I probably shouldn't go too much into that and speak for him, but his ability to sense negativity is very high as well. He remembers the house that we lived in. Fortunately, he was only three, and we were only in there for about 4 or 5 months, but he remembers little bits about it. I believe that that's part of, I think all people in law enforcement typically are very sensitive as it is. They have the ability to kind of like know when they're walking into something that, uh-oh, okay, this isn't good, or, ooh, that person, you know, they have they have very keen senses, and I think it all ties into the paranormal as well. So, yeah, he's very supportive, and he himself has his own, has had his own experiences too.
Wow.
Has he ever done an investigation with you?
Oh, yeah. I took him along on a couple of situations and a couple of cases, and he's very good. He's got that balance. He's got that logic balance. Mm-hmm. He's got that scientific mind, but then he's also got the ability to really sense things and pick up on things, which I appreciate. I would like to bring him along in more cases, but
right.
I've kind of taken a little bit of a break, you know, myself. And, again, I don't look for cases. I pray about it, and I wait and see what comes to me. So, I guess I've been kind of put on hold for that for a little bit. And in the event that I ever do need help, I would definitely be calling him.
Well, that's amazing that you have been able to work together on that. And, you know, with your cases in the past, what has been something that's been really memorable or scary on an investigation?
Oh, well, the memorable things I've been, oh my goodness. I accompanied Bill Bean a couple of times with some cases, some private cases that he flew out to California to help. I got to see families get baptized. That was absolutely beautiful. You know, you're there, the people are terrified, they're under oppression, they're having extreme activity in their homes, and then to switch it and to switch the focus back to God, and then to see the family come together in tears and hugging each other, and the fighting stopped, and they're getting baptized together. That is one of the most beautiful things I can ever even express to you. Definitely during the Demon Files filming, when Leanne did the repentance prayer, that was beautiful. It moved me to tears. Kane and I were both crying in the corner because it was absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That was good stuff. You know, when you're in a negatively charged environment with a negative haunting, and you switch it and you just empower the people and you bring God in and you've done the exorcism, and it's just absolutely the coolest feeling. That makes all the negativity worth it right there, when you can see the family get their traction back and the focus is back on God, and they're realizing that it was all just, you know, it's all just a lie. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the scarier things I've had was being in Cindy's basement. That was absolutely horrible. It was hard. It was hard to stand in the dark and feel something behind you like that, and not just you. Oh yeah, hello. You know, and whatever it wasn't very nice, and it was very dark and oppressive, and it was right. And you're not the only one experiencing it. You're with other people, and you know that, okay, this is not my imagination. I can feel this. That was difficult. I have been sat on. I've once been scratched, and that wasn't pleasant either. So those are some of the more scarier things. But fortunately, I don't have really anything happening in my home, had very little activity personally. But the one time I did get sat on, that was at home. So, and that was during one of my more severe cases that actually did lead to a bishop having to help the individual. So, yeah.
Right.
That would be really weird to experience.
It was weird. I remember waking up and going, okay, I'm awake. And I remember being too scared to look and too scared to move. And so, okay, I'm awake. And little Lola was with me, you know. And I'm like, okay, here's Lola. Mm-hmm. She's not moving. She's not picking up anything. I'm like, what am I feeling here? And I just started praying. And then it just kind of went away. And, again, I'm very careful what I consider to be a legit experience and possibly my imagination or sleep paralysis or what was going on. I'm pretty darn sure I was sat on. So, that was probably the weirdest thing. And then that made
How
me
old
also
is Lola?
Realize. Lola is 8
How
years
old. Is
old.
She now?
She's 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See a lot of pictures of her.
Oh,
she actually looks a lot like our dog, Lily.
Oh, how cute.
She's spoiled. Yeah. Yeah.
How old is Lily?
Oh,
like 10 now.
Let me think. We have her and her brother. We have four dogs.
Oh, nice.
They might be like 10 now.
Well, she was a
pup. Maybe 11.
Yeah, at our old house. That was 10 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dog.
I think she was born in like 2009, so she's probably about 10.
Well, if you ever want another dog, you know where to. I can definitely connect you with a really great dog. So just let me know.
Oh wow!
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we have some really nice doggies right now that need homes. So
wow.
All of our dogs are rescues. We love them all so much. We have 4 of them, 3 small ones, and then 1 large one.
Yeah, we're maxed out.
Oh, yeah. I know I would have.
Pool later.
Oh, how cute. How
yeah,
fun.
Lily likes to float. You know, speaking of Lola being around during that really weird paranormal experience you had, in our old haunted house, our oldest dog, Lucy, actually would bark where the ghost was. She could see it. She knew it was there. Have you had that experience with Lola where you can tell she actually knows that the ghost is there?
Yes. Not in my home. Like I said, I've only – being sat on was like one of the weirder experiences I've had in my home. And then, of course, I blessed the heck out of my house, and I had to reassess how this even happened. So, anyways, I've taken Lola to, like, Camarillo. This is before it was shut down and, you know, being renovated. I'd take her on a walk, and we were walking around the grounds, and she would just all of a sudden, her little eyes would bug out of her head, and she'd be like, "We're getting the hell out of here." And suddenly this little tiny dog became a pit bull and was pulling me on the leash to get me out. She wanted to leave. So she was just like, "Oh no, I'm out. I'm leaving." And then Heritage Junction, she didn't like that place either. She did not like the green building. She picks up on it. It's really cute. So she doesn't want to have a whole lot to do with, like, whenever we've gone to any charged locations, I feel that she picks up on it and she wants to leave. She didn't act like that any other places. She just, she gets very adamant about getting the heck out of there.
Well, remember, Sophia, at La Prisma Mission that Richard Sennett said there's a ghost greyhound there. And I remember when you were little, you wanted to try a session with, a chew toy and different things to coax it or even take our pup there to see if it could interact with it.
I just keep wanting to take Lucy on an investigation. I just love her so much. She's a pug. She's a pug mix. Boston Terrier and pug mix.
Yeah, Boston pug.
But she has normal pug personality. So she doesn't get scared by the ghost. She gets very angry. She just has that pug personality, you know, that's very
your
sassy. She's not going to take anything.
Oh, same with that's Boston, too. Those are both very stubborn, focused little doggies, which sounds adorable. How cute.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
Is. She's I like to compare her to Regina George from Mean Girls. That's Lucy in a dog form. So, you know, if she went with Lola, you know, would have somewhat of a protector because Lucy is very, very agitated with ghosts. But
cute.
It's very funny to see.
She's going to go bite them if she can.
If they threw her food, she'd probably leave. But, you know, until then, she'll just be angry.
Do you feel that she's effectively backed away the ghost by her behavior?
No, I think she probably aggravates them just as she does with the humans.
Oh, how cute.
That constant bark.
She also has that effect. She constantly barks. Her and the big dog are always, it's not like fighting, but they have this like really intense like argument because they have like the rawhide chews and he'll have one and she'll just stand under him barking and I mean, she'll try and go around and grab it. She'll literally lay practically on top of him trying to get it. She'll have her head basically under his while she's eating it. So she definitely goes for what she wants and doesn't like what she doesn't like.
Yeah.
I might check on her because you usually hear her during the show. So she's up to something.
She's when it's too quiet, you know she's being naughty or she's
yeah,
sleepy.
Yeah. Usually we hear her during this entire show.
She plots a lot. She loves attention, and when I don't give her attention, she knows how to irritate me to where I have to notice her, and she genuinely knows what she's doing. Like,
yeah.
She'll jump on the top of the couch and try and sit on my head to get me to notice her, and she's, like, 25 pounds. Like, she doesn't need to do that.
Oh, dogs are a lot.
Yeah.
Dogs are very intelligent. Dogs
I know they are. I wish there was a little bit less, because then she wouldn't figure out ways to plot and scheme against me.
Dogs are our greatest companions, I swear. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
Definitely. And speaking of Lola's experience at Camarillo State Hospital, you know, now it is Channel Islands College. What do you feel like that type of imprint from the many, you know, people going in and out of there, everything that's happened on that land, how do you feel that that affects the people that go there now for school with stress of finals and tests? Do you think that has an impact on them?
I'm not sure. I'm surprised that we haven't heard more. I understand that there have been some reports of some of the students picking up on activity, but I'm surprised it's not more than it is. Maybe possibly completely renovating the buildings and what they did, maybe that reset everything. I don't know. Again, it's the paranormal. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was definitely one of the most haunted places I've been. It was pretty incredible. But, I was really worried about those students and the kids being there. But it seems to be kind of quiet. It doesn't seem as though there's a lot of people reaching out for help. And I'm kind of surprised by that.
And I'm not too sure about the layout now, but I'm not sure if the dorms are on the actual site of the college. Oh, wow. And my mom just texted me, which I was going to mention. My uncle actually used to be the chief of staff at Camarillo State.
Oh.
Yeah, Charles Nozisca.
Is he?
He's a good trigger name there.
I'm pretty sure he died. He's my great uncle, so I never met him, but my mom knew him, and he wasn't blood, but he married into my family, and he was chief of staff there, so I'm not sure if that would help with responses. I definitely don't think I would mention that, because I don't know how he was as a doctor, because I know some things weren't the best back in those times with mental health.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not. And unfortunately, that seems to be a common situation, because you know that I am in a relationship with a psychologist, and there's a lot of different places that still are a little bit behind, unfortunately, but corrections facilities and stuff like that. So hopefully, you know, it's an evolving process, just like the paranormal. It's just something that, you know, hopefully as we continue to learn more and more, we can improve and continue to evolve in those fields and those areas. But, Camarillo.
Definitely.
I'm surprised that we're not having all kinds of reports of students and things like that, but I'm glad, because that's the last thing they need. They're there to focus on an education and being away from home and everything. So I'm happy that they're doing good. That's all I got to say.
And that's possibly why they're not having the experiences that we would expect, is they're so focused on school and the tests and the stress that comes along with that they stress might be happening all the time and they really don't notice.
Whatever it is, I'm glad it's working. That's all. You know, because, I was thinking, oh, my goodness, that's not a good situation. But yeah,
the one I think that mostly about is Linda Vista.
My son handled a call there. My son was there. My son.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. There was a check the welfare, or was it? I don't recall exactly, because that's, yeah, he was there on a call. And it's just.
A lot happened in Boyle Heights.
Yeah. So it was he said it was just kind of amazing just going in there, but a lot of people in law enforcement, security, there is activity there, unfortunately. And
yeah,
that is now a retirement home. So yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty shocking. I was like, I definitely wouldn't want to retire there.
I would not let my mom.
And I love the paranormal, but there's a line. I like to leave it with, investigating and then coming home and not having ghosts there.
Yeah, I don't particularly like to cohabitate with the ghosts either. That's no fun. Unfortunately, since I've lived in two houses, I now can really pretty much pick up on it pretty quickly, and I haven't lived in another one since. So I would like to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And with your past investigations prior to the Demon Files or just on the show, is there any case that you felt you would like to follow up with or you felt needed a follow-up?
I was actually given that opportunity. There was one case that ended abruptly, and I felt really like it was unfinished. I actually felt it was mishandled. And she popped back up, and it was just amazing. She found me, and this was about a year ago. And I had handled that case about 5 years ago. And I always wondered about her, and I felt that, I was under the advice of somebody that I was learning from to just end all communication, and we did feel that she was really actually having legitimate problems. And we ended abruptly with her, and I didn't feel that was spiritually correct, and I felt bad about it. And so it bothered me a little bit. Unfortunately, I was able to revisit her and kind of have some closure on that. So that was good. And I didn't go looking for her. She came back up. So it was kind of an interesting closure. I appreciated that. And
right.
Yeah, of course, there have been cases. I'm actually close to several people that I've done personal private cases with.
Mm-hmm.
Several of them have moved from the location, but it just seems as though when you get, at least when I do personal private cases, I try to get involved in their lives and try to help them on all aspects, because I think that if you're going to be trying to help somebody deal with paranormal in their life, there's other reasons why they're there. There are different reasons. It's either maybe they need to kind of deepen their spiritual. I find that people that live in a paranormal situation always come out of it with a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to try to really get to know the families and empower them spiritually and kind of get them to make sense of as much as possible as to what they're going through and to be less afraid. And that kind of seems to develop a bond. And I'm close to pretty much most of my private cases that I've handled still to this day. I consider them to be an extended family.
Right.
Well, that's amazing and so awesome that you have that connection. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, though. Are there any websites, upcoming interviews, events that you would like to mention?
Like I said, I've been kind of just focusing on my work and, the other spiritual work that I'm involved in now, which is very time-consuming and very involved, which that's kind of where it seems like God has led me. So, working as a chaplain, so that's taken quite a bit of my focus. And as far as the paranormal, no, I've just been kind of quiet, so.
Well, I'm sure you deserve a much-needed break, and I'm sure cases will start coming in really soon because You do such amazing work, and just thank you for all you do.
Oh, thank you, Sophia. It's been wonderful watching you grow up into a wonderful young lady. You're doing great.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Thank you. So,
you're welcome.
Yeah, and Deborah, thank the chaplain at your department, too, for making this possible. I know he had to give you approval and everything to come on, so thank him for us, too, as well.
Oh, sure. No problem. So,
Thank you so much
for coming on today. It's been great talking to you again.
Oh, nice talking to you, too. I hope I didn't ramble too much. Okay.
No,
you were great.
Yeah, we'll send you the archive show, too, as well. Yeah, feel free to post and share and link the archive show as you wish. And thanks so much, Deborah.
Okay, thank you for having me. You guys have a wonderful day. Give every dog a hug for me, okay? Okay, bye.
I will.
Yeah, all for it. Yeah, it's going to, we have to chase him around, but we'll do that. And also, she's like a St. Francine of Assisi. Yeah, she's got, so if you look at her pictures, she's got like crows and baby possums in her patrol car and everything. So, yeah, she does amazing
work. Well, we know how you do with baby crows as well.
I know they came right to the front door like that squirrel did. We had a baby squirrel just come to the front door and we had to take it in.
Yeah, we had a squirrel come to our front door. That was really fun.
Yeah, and those crows, they came right up our pathway to the door. I'm like, you got to see this. We had these crows come up and nurse them back to health for a couple weeks and everything. But yeah, they took off out the front where we picked them up, and they had the nice pond out there to drink out of and stuff. So we still hear them. We heard that family cackling at them too up in the trees for a while, but they're all reunited now. Great show, Sophia.
Definitely. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and also, too, I remind everybody, our guest today, Destination America's Demon Files Key Paranormal Investigator, and, of course, Animal Control Officer Deborah Aguayo. So you can find her on Facebook. She goes by Dog Girl with two R's on Facebook, and Twitter, it's Dog Girl at Dog Girl with two R's, and Instagram at Dog Girl with three R's. And, of course, on Facebook, The Demon Files. Coming up, we have Shapeshifters author John Kachuba. He'll be on the program on the 20th. And White Phosphorus Pictures owner, Montauk Chronicles producer, History Channel's Dark Files host, and upcoming host talent of Travel Channel's Strange World series. He booked himself, so we're looking forward to this. Christopher Garitano, he'll be on the 27th. And also just added psychic remote viewer Harvey Althaus on the 17th of August. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. More securing their dates, too, as well on the program, The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Seon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.